One of the things we believe is that we, a healthy church, all right, is full of people who love one another and desire to live and worship together joyfully in community, all right? Here's what that means. No fakey fakey. You don't come in here, all right? Listen, I am not saying this doesn't happen. It does happen. But you don't want to come into this room after you have gotten one kid dressed, not fought with another kid who's still in his jammies, yelled all the way down here at the third child, ripped the head off your spouse, jumped out of the car, and then went, "Hey, preacher, joy to the world. My family and I are so happy to see you." You don't come in here and say, "Hey, good to see you. Hey, good to see you. I'm going to smile as I walk to the other side of the sanctuary because not only do I not want to see those people over there, I do not want to shake their hand. I do not want to look at their faces. And if they never come back, that is okay with me." Do not come in here with that stuff. That is infection. That is not fruits of the Spirit. And you say, "Well, Craig, we're human beings. We have problems." Yes, you do. Be adults and get them out and deal with them. Then come back. "Well, Craig, I don't know about all that. I don't, you know, maybe we can just..." No maybes. This is the scripture. If you go to give your offering at the altar and you remember that your brother, your mother, a member of your family has erred against you, take your money and go. And you get it right with your mother or with your brother. Then bring your offering back. We want to get ticked off because you kicked us out. You want to ignore the part where we said, "Get your heart right and then come home." God is always about bringing his children home. Never forget it. From the beginning, God has been about chasing his children down and bringing them home. And this goes right back to something I said weeks ago, and we're going to keep focusing in on it because the world is teaching us differently. You do not look at someone and say, "Hey, I love your shirt," and then have that person respond to you, "Oh, you don't like my shoes?" That's not what you said, but that's what's going on in the world right now. You make a statement, "You know what, I believe in the traditional family," and all of a sudden, you hate a certain classification of people or seven classifications of people, depending on what they decide there is next week. That's not what I said. So don't read in. A healthy church makes the decision up front to say, "I choose not to judge somebody in this room because they sin differently from me." Can I get it again, girl? I choose not to judge someone in this room. And let me throw this out there, including this guy. Not because I don't want to be judged by you. I'm going to get over that. It hurts, but I'm going to get past it. But here's what I'm saying. I am the pastor. I am the vision caster. I am a member of the board of elders. And I am a human being. And I did not go to Holy High School. And I do not have some kind of banner over me as love that protects me from pride, that protects me from lust, that protects me from Satan. In fact, I have prayed it before and I'm scared to death, but I pray it now that if he's going to take a shot, church, that he takes a shot at me because I don't want you to go through it. But I can and will fail. And if you're going to judge me, go somewhere else. And if you're going to judge your neighbor, go somewhere else. But if you decide that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that we all need some healing, and that we all need some hope, and that we all need some love, and that we all need the grace of God, if you understand that I need the grace, you need the grace, we all need the grace, and we need to learn to give a little grace, come on in. We're going to swim in this pool of life together with this confidence. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are aliens and strangers together in this thing called life, and we were made for something more. And we are not running towards something that ends. We're running towards something eternal, something we were made for. Let's run there together. A healthy church loves one another in spite of their sin and desires to come together on a weekly basis. We don't have to. We get to. Right, church? We don't have to. The Hoovers and the Howards don't have to. What? they get to. All right? The Tacketts and the Del Rios don't have to. What? We get to. Starting this week, we get to do it twice a week with our children and our teenagers. Wednesday nights, we're going to start loving on our kids, loving on our youth. If you want to work, see Si, I'm sure she'd love to help. We love, live, worship together in community. Sorry, my little iPad jumped to something else. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself, all right? Cover yourself, all right? Be covered up with this stuff, compassion. Whole lot easier to deal with everybody if everybody around you is covered up in compassion, isn't it? Kindness. Woo, can I get an amen? What if you could go through tomorrow and everybody you ran into was kind? Would you like it? What if everybody you ran into tomorrow, you were kind? Come on, the world would be a better place. Man, I love that book by Robert Fogum, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Wouldn't the world be a better place if we all took a nap at 1 o'clock every day? Can I get a witness? Wouldn't the world be a better place if when we got up from that nap, milk and cookies were waiting? Woo! Wouldn't the world be a better place if we all just put things back where we found them? Wouldn't it be a great place if we all got in awestruck again by the roots growing down and the flower coming up? Woo! What if you looked out at the world tomorrow morning and said, man, God is amazing. Let's do this. Come on. Just be nice. Make this world a better place. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, put on love, which binds us together in perfect unity. Love binds us together. All you need is love. All right, I'm going to jump down to verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all, what? In the name of the Lord Jesus, for the glory of God. Amen and amen. Ooh, there we go. I've hit something I don't understand. There we go. All right, let's go on. This one's difficult. This one's fun. This one is, this one will preach forever, okay? Because we're all friends, going to be sitting over the bar, sitting over the table, sitting in the kitchen, talking through how to work this one out, okay? Because this one lands in the gray. Wait now, Craig, isn't everything black and white? Yes and no. Everything is black and white if you're Jesus. All right? And if we're following Jesus, we can make our way there. But we're not. We're working out our salvation. And there are times when you are in the midst of all these things coming at you and you've got to figure out where to stand. Remember last week we talked about sufficient but not exhaustive? Well, when you're working out the sufficiency and having conversations with Christ and having conversations with one another about how to be better, you're working through things. A healthy church, all of us together, and a healthy Christian, each one of us, all right, learns this. Celebrate your freedom in Christ seriously, okay? And responsibly. Let me say it again. You celebrate what God has done for you seriously because the verse we're going to show, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Why would you live bound? Why would you live chained? On the other side of that is we live so free that our spirituality falls out. And we're no longer living as we should in Christ. And the church for years has lost the balance between the two. Because what you have is people who don't listen to some scriptures. They take out the ones they don't like. What you also have is people who add to the scriptures. Grandma said this, so it must be true. All right? You can't do either one, and both of them are just as wrong. Okay? You can't do either one, and both of them are just as wrong. Here's another way you're going to hear this sermon preached. This has to do with the difference between legalism, okay, doing what it says just because it says it without any question or any concept of the person of Jesus Christ. The law is the law. Okay? License is, well, because God said, I set you free and my grace is sufficient and amazing grace, how sweet the sound, I can do whatever I want because he's going to forgive me anyway. That's license. Legalism, license. How do we find the balance? Listen to me. All you need is love. Well, Craig, what does that mean? I get on Facebook and love is, I get on Instagram and love is, I listen to my mom and love is, but I watch my alcoholic dad and love is, but I read the scripture and love is, but I read this scripture and love is. Yes, you've got to read love is patient, love is kind, it is not self-seeking, it keeps no record of wrong. But you also have to read those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. It's both. Church, if you don't learn to celebrate your freedom in Christ, you've taken the party out of Jesus. You've taken the joy out of Christ. You've taken the hope out of everything because you're still living under the law. But if you take away the law and who Jesus is completely, if you take away responsibility, there is nothing about you that's changed. There's nothing about you that's different. There's nothing about you that is new. There can't be a greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, because you're saying you love Jesus, but you're living like you love the world. It is not one or the other. There's not so much grace that we don't have a reason to act one way. But the law is not so powerful that his grace is not sufficient. I know that this is hard to grab in one message. I get it. We will spend the rest of our lives chewing on this, but you can mock my words. A healthy church, a healthy man, a healthy young man or young woman learns to celebrate the freedom they have in Christ with joy and run in the path of his commands, for he has set their heart free. That's what David understood. I'm running like Forrest Gump. But there are boundaries so I don't end up at the coast and back just because. Making zero impact because all I'm doing is running. No, I'm running in the path of your commands, not because they bind me, because they set me free. Josh McDowell says it like this. Rules are made to protect and to provide. Rules are made to protect you from the things that sin brings, because sin has consequences, and they are to provide for you a way to enjoy what God has done and the way that he has created it. We don't ask you not to have sex before you get married because we want you to not have any fun. We ask you not to have sex to keep you from all the consequences that come from it prior to being in a bonded marriage relationship where God can bless you. At the same time, it can also provide for you everything that God has unfathomably created to make happen inside your body when he comes in and makes marriage what he called marriage to be. Raya, ahava, and then the dode. Those are the Hebrew words for dating, getting married, and woohoo! That's King James. Raya, ahava, and dode. Do y'all remember what the translation of dode is? Come on, say it for me. The mingling of souls. That's what God created, the mingling of souls. Come on! Yummy church, let's move on. I already preached that message. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that you've been set free. Stand firm and do not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of slavery. Do not let yourself be burdened by the yoke of the list of rules that dominated your life before. If the Son sets you free, you've been free indeed. However, Paul says, what shall we say then? I know he says it, there it is. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Hey, I'll just be really, really bad, and then God will look even better because he forgives me. Oh, no, 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 no. By no means, exclamation point. We who have died to sin can't live in it any longer. If God has buried you in him, resurrected you as something new, why would you live as something old? None of us wants to go and bury a relative, bury a mother, bury a child, and then later on go back, dig them up, take them out of the grave, and move them around like a puppet. It's just stupid, but that's what you do with your old lifestyle, isn't it? God binds it, kills it, puts it away, makes something new, and we go digging back in the graves for the old us. Nastiness. For if we have been united with Christ, we will certainly be united with him in resurrection. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he can't die again. Death no longer has the mastery over him. And if you are in him, guess what? Death no longer is master over you. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are no longer under the law, but under grace. It's both and. It's both and. We follow the law of Jesus Christ because we love God because of what he did for us and because those who love me obey my commands. At the same time, we are no longer bound to the legalistic, Pharisaic, Old Testament ways of living under hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laws which taught people how to live together because Jesus Christ binds us together. He has come. There is a difference, and that is why we are free. The rest of your days, folks, the rest of your days, you work through this right here. Celebrate. Healthy Christians celebrate their Christian freedom. Seriously, but responsibly. You're not bound by the law, but you can't just do whatever you want either. Okay? That's healthy. Healthy Christians, when it comes to holiness, acknowledge where they are and pursue where they ought to be. Let me say this one again, because this one's simple, and some people are like, that's too easy. Why should that be in the list? Because most of us don't do it. It's so easy, we forget. It's like breathing. It's like breathing as a Christian. When it comes to holiness, acknowledge where they are and pursue where they ought to be. Okay, you are set apart, picked out, and set in another place for the purposes of God and who he is. So that means, yes, you're called to be a parent. Yes, you're called to be a nurse. Yes, you're called to be a carpenter. Yes, you're called to be a chef. Yes, you're called to work construction. Yes, you're called to be in the medical field. Yes, you are called to all of these things. But when Christ chooses, when you choose back, you become set apart. That's what the word holy means. Set apart for a new task and a new cause that is impossible to complete without God. And so as soon as you are set apart for that task, you have to acknowledge that you are either working on the task or you are not. And that's where health comes in. A real, true, healthy Christian says, this is where I am in the act of glorification, sanctification, and salvation with God, and this is where I'm going. And if we don't do that, we're on a treadmill, and that's not in the scripture. Here's what Paul said to the church at Philippi. Not that I have already obtained this. Well, once I got saved, that was it. Not that I've already obtained this. Well, I'm a deacon now, so my marriage is going to be just fine. My parenting's going to be just fine. I am in a good growing church now, and I give 4.5% of my money. So God is going to take care of me. I served at Vacation Bible School, and the gates of heaven are going to open up because not that I've already obtained this. Not that I have already arrived at the goal. In the first chapter of this book, he said, he who began a good work, yeah, will be faithful to carry it on. It ain't over yet. Sorry. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I will not allow people to remind me of what I was before. Forgetting the burden of who I used to be and straining toward not what I think I ought to be, but what God wants me to be, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Here is the healthy church thing. If we have a bunch of people sitting in the pews, we are no longer healthy. If there is not a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, decade process of being further along tomorrow than you were today, we're not doing it right. Steve's got me reading a book. I'm listening to a book. Y'all know I can't sit still long enough to read anything. Steve's got me listening to a book. In the chapter I just finished all 90 minutes of it. Did y'all catch that? The chapter I just finished was 90 minutes. Had to mow my yard 3 times to get done. I want you to hear this. It's called 12 Rules for Life, and I don't care if the guy's a believer or not. Steve and I are going to talk about that because he doesn't say he is, but golly, he uses him some Jesus. Listen, here's what he says. This is rule number three, I think. You ready for this? Here's what it says. Hold on. Do not compare yourself to somebody else today. Compare yourself to you yesterday. Do not compare yourself to somebody else today. Compare yourself to you yesterday. That's Jesus. I'm not asking you to be anything other than what I intend to make you to be. You know, I bet y'all don't know this. And the reason you don't know this is because it was terrible. I wrote a song once. Brittany knows this, but she's the only one. I wrote a song once. It was terrible. Terrible. Terrible, I tell you. Listen, it was called Lord, it was called All You Want of Me. And this was the chorus. Lord, I want to be, Lord, I want to be, Lord, I want to be all you want of me. Holy, set apart, loved from the start. You made me and set me free, and now I want for all you want of me. The desire of our heart should not be our goals and dreams, but the goals and dreams of the Creator of our spirit, of our soul, and what He wants us to be. They're way better than anything you can map out. And that's what this healthy church thing is. I have set you apart for something more, and all I am asking of you is that you're closer to it tomorrow than you were today. And I promise you that as you go, what? I will be with you. I did not promise we would not fall in a hole. I did not promise that you would be healthy. I did not promise that you would be rich. Dang it. What I promised was that as you went, what? I'll be there. And if you'll let me hold the paintbrush, if you'll let me ride in the driver's seat. Jessica still got her God as my co-pilot sticker on her car. Come on. If God is your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat, right? I'm just loving on you, girl. Listen. We have to be closer to what He wants us to be tomorrow than we are today. That may be, that whole last 5 minutes, I've probably preached this 3 dozen times. We may have hit it the best right here. God wants you to be better tomorrow than you were today and closer to the goal that He has for you. That's health. Chase Him and what He has for you. This is my favorite one. It is. This is my favorite. I've preached it. I'm going to keep preaching it. If you don't like this one, the problem's not with me. This is one of those things where you say it and people get mad. Well, it's the people who get mad who need to learn it. Right here. This is it. I'm teaching it to you right now. There are two kinds of people in the world when it comes to people who God has created and God has offered. Listen to me. You have children because God let you. You have a job because God let you, okay? You have friends, parents, grandparents, because God gave them to you, okay? You have money and a home, all right, and a vehicle. Why? Because God gave them to you, okay? In the end, as much as this culture wants to tell you that they are, those things are not yours. You are a manager or a steward over them. And the two types of people in the world when it comes to all of these things look like this. Type 1 and type 2. Type 1 and type 2. Mine his. Mine, his. The healthy church says, all that I have is yours. And you may have it anytime you choose. The unhealthy church says, thank you for giving me mine. I'll let you know if you need any of it back. Healthy, unhealthy. You ready for this? I'm about to get real. Craig, you don't understand. I know what you want me to say, Craig. I know this is all about tithing. No, it's not. Tithing's merely a statement about how the rest of your life runs. Ran some people off with that one. Tithing is merely a statement about how the rest of your life runs. But I want you to listen very closely. Craig, you don't understand. I have a cell phone bill, a mortgage, 2 car payments. I have to get my kids Christmas. That's going to cost me $1,500 per 7 children. And God wouldn't want me to not go to the amusement park. And God wouldn't want me to not have the jet ski. And God wouldn't want me not to participate in 18 different things. So when God provides me with 10% more, then I'll give it to him. No, ma'am, no, sir. If you make $40 this week and you do not give $4, when you make $1 million, you will not give $100,000. Period. Period. And you're like, but you don't understand. I'm broke. Right now, I understand. Me and Amex are having some issues. And it ain't Amex's problem. It's Craig's problem. Now you can blame me if you want to, or you can understand that I am in my 9th month of a child with a disease that's going to cost my family between $4,000 and $7,000 a month more than it did 9 months ago. And I'm still working that out. But you know what I need to tell God? You did this, so I know you'll understand. When I take from you, don't put it in the plate to give it to my son. Right? Wrong. Wrong. I do not get to do that. And I'm going to prove it to you. There are 20,000 people on the side of a hill that need to be fed. There are 20,000 people on the side of a hill that need to be fed. Let me ask you a question. If you didn't know the story, would you take 100 Happy Meals and know Jesus, or 1 Happy Meal and Jesus? You got to feed 20,000 people. In your heart, what are you going to do? You taking 100 Happy Meals and know Jesus? Or 1 in Jesus? I'll answer the question for you. If you're a tither, you know which one. You want me to get harder on you? Your babies? Your children? Your grandchildren? Not yours. Ask Abraham. Craig, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not talking. Ask Abraham. Nailed it, sister. If that doesn't do it for you, ask God. For God so loved the world that he gave what? His one and only son. Never whine about the 10%. He gave 100. The healthiest churches are open-handed. Do you know why? Because when we're all throwing in, nobody goes without. If everybody is all in, nobody is ever out. I don't apologize. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, because God loves the cheerful giver. But God will take the disciplined giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times you will have all you need and you will abound in every good work. Do you know how he does that? Through the church. You don't understand? Read Acts. I already hit this, but I want you to know that I wasn't making it up. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by a boat. Hearing of the crowds that followed him on foot, Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. When evening approached, the disciples, the 12 that we give praise and glory and honor to by reading their work and exalting their name, the 12 closest people to Jesus came to him and said, "It's getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. We have only 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. Craig, you don't understand. There's only $3 left. Craig, you don't understand. There's only $17 left. Jesus, you don't understand. All we've got's a little boy's happy meal." After he directed the people to sit down, he took the loaves and the fish and looked to heaven and gave thanks and broke it, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of leftovers, and the number was about 5,000 men, not counting the women and not counting the children. The healthiest church is open-handed. God, take my 5 and make it 5 million. And you know what Jesus does before he breaks it? He tells them to sit down because he already knows everybody's eating. It's the way I want to live. Craig, you got enough money to do the brick? Nope, God told us to. Let's roll. It's that easy. Here's my prayer. No heads bowed, no eyes closed. My prayer is that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart please the Lord. And that as that wells up within us, the lives that we lead become open, holy, set apart for him as individuals and as a church. That is my prayer, and amen.